surprise or even a disappointment to some of you. Even some of you involved in the organizing. Over the years, I've heard several people say that they don't like or don't trust organized religion. Generally, this sentiment is expressed during a new member class or a committee meeting, which strikes me as quite odd given how organized those things tend to be. I don't want to make too many assumptions, but I think that what people mean is that they don't like or don't trust hierarchical religion. Since their founding, both Unitarians and Universalists have eschewed hierarchy. Our policy is democracy. Our congregations have always been governed by congregational polity. That is, we choose our own professional staff and we determine how to raise and spend our money. There is no higher authority that can override a decision made by a congregation. No governing body can close down an individual congregation or sell its building. And I mention this because when we lived in Boston during the scandal of the sex abuse of the, you know, by priests, they were really struggling with some money problems, and I knew people who just had their parish sold out from under them, just closed and sold. They had no say in it, and you know, it felt great to be a Unitarian Universalist where no one could do that to us. Or maybe when Unitarian Universalists say that they don't like organized religion, what they mean is that they don't like creeds. Many people who are drawn to this faith tradition have rejected the notion that someone else can tell them what to believe. We tend to be people who want to figure it out for ourselves. In fact, instead of a creed, one of our principles says that we affirm and promote a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Instead of doctrine, we have bylaws. Oh yes, we are an organized religion. And it's a very good thing that we're organized. Unitarian Universalism is a very small denomination. In any depiction of the religious landscape in the United States, Unitarian Universalists probably don't even get our own little slice of the pie. We're lumped in with other. If we weren't organized, our voices would never be heard. We have a unique point of view in the religious world, and we want that point of view to matter. The question of why we are so small has been hashed over and analyzed. To date, though, there's no single compelling explanation or solution. But that's not my message anyway. The message today is in praise of organization with a capital O. The organization that we belong to gives us a sense of belonging as Unitarian Universalists more than belonging to any single congregation can do. And it gives us more power in the world. To begin, I want to give you just a little bit of an overview of exactly how we are organized. Approximately 1,040 congregations make up our Unitarian Universalist Association, the UUA, which has its headquarters in Boston. Membership in our association is completely voluntary. Individual, autonomous congregations choose to join, usually by a vote of their members, in order to pursue common goals. Delegates to a yearly business meeting that we call General Assembly make many important decisions regarding those common goals. Member congregations send delegates to GA, and the number of delegates is determined by the size of the congregation. In many ways, the association is roughly analogous to a congregation. There is a board of trustees, a president, and a moderator, all of whom are elected by congregational delegates at GA. Ginny Corder, our current moderator, is kind of like the congregational president. She knows everything that's going on, and she runs the meetings. If you've ever seen her in action, she really runs the meetings. Reverend Peter Morales' role as our president is akin to the congregation's professional minister. He is our association's main spokesperson in the public sphere. He works to inspire action and spiritual growth on the part of congregations and individual UUs. He holds the big picture of our movement, and he oversees association staff. And then there are the committees. Except at the association level, they're called working groups, but more on that a little bit later. In addition to our national body, our association is organized by districts. There are 19 districts, and they're based on geography. As a point of reference, UUCSR, this congregation, is part of the Pacific Central District, which includes Northern California, most of Nevada, and Hawaii. There are 38 congregations in our district, which makes it relatively small compared to other districts in our UUA. The purpose of districts is to deliver services to member congregations. Boston is so very far away, it makes sense to have staff and other resources closer to the congregations themselves. Okay, I was able to get through that little primer on UU organization without too much of an alphabet soup. We have UUA, GA, UUCSR. Okay. 1993 was kind of a crazy year for the Bell Butterfield family. We were members of West Shore Unitarian Universalist Church in Rocky River, Ohio, but we were getting ready to move. In June, Chris graduated from college, and the very next week we had our wedding. As soon as we got back from a one-week honeymoon, we moved so that I could start graduate school. We were either crazy or naive because we packed all of our things into a Ryder truck and moved from Cleveland, Ohio, the only city either of us had ever lived in, to Boulder, Colorado, where we knew no one. I would be starting school in a couple of months, but in the meantime, neither of us had jobs, and we didn't even have a place to live. That's being 25 for you. We moved without a place to live. We had some wedding gift money, but that wasn't going to last very long, so things were a little tense. After the essentials were taken care of, we had found a place to live and had returned the Ryder truck, we started looking for a church. For a variety of reasons, we ended up joining First Unitarian Universalist in Denver. At that stressful time in our lives, we needed the familiar. Having a UU congregation was worth the 45-minute drive every Sunday. I'm a member of this congregation because I am a UU. I know that for some people, their identity as a person of faith is rooted in a particular community. But I've had to leave my church home not once, but twice in order to move to a new state. That is not an easy thing to do. But knowing that there would be a UU congregation in the new town made leaving my beloved community and the city easier. In 2005, after Hurricane Katrina, I was again able to access the power of organization. After the flooding in New Orleans, I felt compelled to do something. And only being a UU is what made that possible. My son Aaron, who was then 11, and I drove to New Orleans. We rented a van and loaded it with things that members of a couple of Boston area congregations had donated. All along the way, we stopped at UU congregations to pick up more donations. Unitarian Universalists along I-95 fed us and gave us places to sleep. They also gave us backpacks that they had personalized for the children of the New Orleans UU congregations. The Sunday that Aaron and I had the honor to give each child the backpack that had been put together specifically for him or her, I did not feel like a member of First Parish in Cambridge. I was a UU, serving as an ambassador for UUs all along the Eastern Seaboard. In fact, this is one of the messages of being part of a large organization. We take care of each other. In addition to these personal experiences, I've been very proud of how our association is a religious voice for social justice. In recent history, our association has organized to work most visibly for equality for LGBT people, there's that alphabet soup, and for comprehensive immigration reform. The staff in Boston and the Volunteer Commission on Social Witness compiles materials and resources for congregations that want to learn more about issues or want to become more actively engaged. During the fight to save marriage equality here in California, I saw firsthand how powerful we could be despite our small size. Based on population data, I've estimated that there are probably only about 24,000 Unitarian Universalists in California. But based on our presence in the No on 8 campaign, you would have thought there were 20 times that many, or maybe 100 times that many. On the first day in June 2008 that gay and lesbian couples were able to marry, it was Unitarian Universalists who showed up at courthouses around the state to support and congratulate couples. And during the No on 8 campaign, UUs made YouTube videos explaining the religious reasons to support marriage rights for same-sex couples. And most of all, we showed up. At any organizing meeting I went to, I was thanked and patted on the back and just loved on because UUs show up. We were able to take a leadership role in that campaign because of our organization and because of our identities as Unitarian Universalists. Okay, so wouldn't you know that it takes money to be this well organized? Almost half of the funding for the operation of our association comes from congregations. The Stewardship and Development Office, a staff group in Boston, works with volunteers from around the country to make sure our association has the funds to do our work. The committee that does this work is called the Annual Program Fund Committee. That's the committee I'm a member of. Every congregation is asked to make a contribution based on its size. The requested amount, what is called fair share, has been $56 per member for the past 3 years. I frequently hear people refer to this amount as their dues, or even as a tax. These words, though, are not accurate. What a congregation actually pledges and contributes is completely up to that congregation itself. In talking with people about their contribution to the UUA, I'm often asked about the specific, tangible benefits of membership in the association. I hear, what do we get for our donation? What have UU done for me lately? And I understand this question. Congregations have big dreams, and they don't have the money to do all the things they want to do. Look at this congregation, for example. For this fiscal year, we pledged more than $17,000 to our UUA and another $9,000 or so to our district. It is so tempting to think about what we could do with that money. New staff, advertising, building improvements. Oh, but we are in covenant with those other 1,039 members of our association. And to fulfill that covenant, we give what is asked of us. And here is what the UUA has done for you lately. The UUA provides training and support to ministers and other religious professionals. The Office of Ministerial Transitions is there to support congregations when a ministry doesn't work out or when it's time to search for a new minister. Any of you who were associated with the search, I guess, 5 years ago, you know how important that support can be. The UUA also provides grants to congregations and to districts. There are a number of grants available that pay for a whole variety of things. In fact, we have gotten 3 grants over the past couple of years to support our community organizing work in the North Bay Sponsoring Committee. Sometimes, though, other congregations get these grants, and so our generosity to our association allows us to support the hopes and dreams of congregations around the country. What I think is one of the most important things that the UUA provides for us is lifespan faith development curricula. Imagine a world in which every religious educator at all these 1,040 congregations had to every year write the curriculum for their classrooms. Instead, we have professionals who have pulled together resources for spiritual development from preschool through adulthood. One of our most amazing curriculum is called OWL, or Our Whole Lives. There are 5 different programs in OWL, each aimed at a different age group from kindergarten to adulthood. The most used OWL program is the one that is offered to middle schoolers. This program teaches kids about sexuality in an open and honest way that is also rooted in the values of health, respect, self-worth, responsibility, justice, and inclusivity. Amazing, right? That's amazing. So we make sacrifices to be fair share. And I hope this smattering of things that the UUA does convinces you that making our contribution is worth it. But even more than that, I want to convince you that considering what UU has done for us lately is not really the right approach. Religion is not a fee-for-service enterprise. Think about it in the context of this congregation. How much does a worship service cost? How much is it worth to know that our children are learning how to make important decisions in a way that is rooted in our common values? What is it worth to you to see our minister or fellow members of our congregation in the newspaper because they've written letters to the editor or stood up for justice? What would we pay to know that no one in Santa Rosa goes hungry on a Sunday morning? What is it worth to you to know you belong somewhere? Now let's pose these same questions on a bigger organizational level. What is it worth to know that we are in right relationship with 1,039 other congregations? That there are 200,000 other Unitarian Universalists out there counting on us? What is it worth to know that we have national leadership who makes headlines when they meet with Desmond Tutu or the Dalai Lama? Or to know that these same leaders will be arrested in front of the Sudanese embassy or the Maricopa County Jail? What is it worth to know that we have a network of brothers and sisters who will come to our aid and support us if the worst case scenario happens? No, friends, the question is not what can we do to support this. The question is, what can we do to support this movement, the association that we belong to and that gives us power, the association that has saved us and just might save the world? Okay. There's an insert in your order of service with the words to Standing on the Side of Love, which is a great hymn written by our very prolific UU composer, Jason Shelton.
You can't stand on the side of love while you're sitting, so won't you rise, please? Nancy and I will teach you the verses. Join in on the chorus, and any time you want to sing, please.
Of grace. mine. We are standing on the side of love. Hands joined together as hearts beat as one. Emboldened by faith, we dare to proclaim we are standing on the side of love. We are standing on the side.
For our closing words this morning, I invite you to reach out to someone next to you and hold their hand. Be ours a religion which, like sunshine, goes everywhere. Its temple, all space, its shrine, the good heart, its creed, all truth, its ritual, works of love, its profession of faith, divine living. Peace be with you all, and remember to join us in the social hour after the service.